Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Coming from a basement to your headphones, barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild time in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the circus, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome to another episode of the Podcastianos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Eric Wayne. Eric, what's going on?
Nothing. I'm feeling healthy. I'm completely uninjured and feeling strong.
How are your biceps feeling?
Oh, never better. Never better.
I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter, but Eric and I actually met up for the first time. We were no longer just guys talking on the internet. We were guys being bros in real life. We saw a West Michigan Whitecaps game on Saturday. Eric, I got to say, you're a little taller than I imagined.
Well, thank you, I guess. And you are also very tall, Jordan.
Yeah, we are probably the tallest podcast on the interweb.
Yeah, there's no reason to think we aren't. We haven't measured all the other ones, but...
That's true. A little whiter than I would have imagined, too.
Thanks. That was the descriptor I gave him. I said, just look for the white guy. That's me. Of course, this is Western Michigan, so... Although I could recognize Jordan right away. He was sporting the Manchester United t-shirt.
I wore it for identification purposes, clearly.
You're a smart man.
I actually did not actually. No, it was just, well, they were playing Sunday morning, so I wanted to be supportive.
And 9 out of 10 of your t-shirts have Manchester United on them, I'm assuming.
That's probably statistically incorrect, but probably not by as much as you might think. So it was you, me, and my wife, Whitney. Your wife bailed on the day of the game, and I have to say this. Yeah. Whitney was floating the idea today that maybe she doesn't really exist.
You know, it would be the most elaborate deception I've ever experienced if that were the case. But I'm not ruling it out.
Almost more elaborate than pretending to be a left-handed relief pitcher on the internet for years and years.
No one would do that. That's ridiculous. Stupid.
So we saw our boy Ninja Purtle. I got to say, he doesn't not remind me of Brandon Inge playing the hot corner. I thought that was he was looking good over there.
He's got quality. He is as short as we are tall, unfortunately.
he's
a better baseball player. Baseball player, but... Not so much on the tallness.
No, but it's okay. You don't have to be tall to play baseball, as Dustin Pedroia. We saw Bo Burrows. Bo Burrows actually was really good. He was pumping 96, 97. I think he threw, what, 5 innings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 or 6, maybe?
That's probably about all they throw at that level.
And then Longwith came in. He of the enormously long neck. Love him.
And so, yeah, I have Juan Kelly, who you appropriately dubbed the Don Kelly's Latin brother. You called him Juani Deeds on Twitter. So yeah, that one was a lot of fun. I actually really appreciated all of the Juan Kelly jokes.
Many laughs were had. Mm-hmm. It was a pleasant day. It was wonderful.
Can I get something off my chest real quick? This is completely transitioning to a new topic. Before we get to the Tigers chit chat. Is that okay with you?
Go.
So I feel like on this show, we fairly regularly talk about how like big oil runs the world and big agriculture is trying to kill us. But I'd like to talk about big optical for a second, if you could. So I was going to we had a new opening of iMart Plus in Traverse City, which sounds like PetSmart. I feel like I should go in there and like, you know, pick out a couple fish to bring back to my house. And they have glasses 2 for $19.99 on their website is like a grand opening special. Of course, you get in there and, you know, there's fine print to the deal. And of course, right. the lenses themselves are more than a house payment. But the thing is
I do. I wear contact lenses and glasses. Yeah.
So you're familiar with the concept of that eye prescriptions expire. And as soon as they expire, yeah, nobody will sell to you. You are completely blacklisted.
Correct. You do need to provide a prescription in order to purchase glasses.
My question is why? Like, how is my life going to, you know, end? You know, it's just going to be complete chaos. I'm wearing a prescription from or glasses from a prescription that ended, you know, 3 days ago. And the thing that really worries me is it has to be like a complete conspiracy. Like, you got your eye doctors that are in on it, the lens companies, and even like the resale ones, like, you know, 1-800-CONTACTS. Because if any of them break the chain, you know, we're able to get cheap contacts without the prescription. Anyway, it just drives me nuts.
You're right. I mean, it's a little shady. It's not like you're going to a pharmacy and filling a Vicodin prescription, right? I mean, you're getting glasses or contact lenses. You do need a prescription, but you gotta get smart about this, Hall. You gotta get smart about this. What you do is you go to your eye doctor and you don't buy anything from your eye doctor. You just want an exam. And you can call around, whatever exam is least expensive. And then you get a copy of the prescription and you order contact lenses or glasses, whatever the case may be. And then you wait for the year, you use the contacts. And when the contact lens is about to expire, you order as many as you can again.
But how can anyone remember year from a year, 1 year on when it's going to expire?
Set a reminder on your phone. Set a reminder on your phone.
I suppose that could work.
And that gives you 2 years of lenses, essentially doubling your eyeglass or your contact purchases and having your exam expenses.
That's wise. Once again, just shaping the way I look at the world. Let's move on to the contact information. One more call for all of the fantasy football people out there that listen to the show. We are having a Podcastianos Listener Fantasy Football League. You can play with myself and Eric and the other listeners to the show. We have one spot left. The draft date is a week from Wednesday. So if you want to be in the league, shoot us an email at podcastianos@gmail.com. And at this point,
you do need to send us a copy of your current prescription to play in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. That would definitely be the only way we would let you in. Maybe a monetary donation as well, just to take care of the lenses. Absolutely. Just kidding. Don't actually. Well, actually, you can. I don't care.
You could send us money.
Yeah, that's fine. And once again, a big thank you to all the people who have joined the league. There's many that included some very nice words in their email. So, you know, finger guns to you. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric. And the show is at Podcastianos.
Do you have your name picked out?
I do. I haven't put it in there.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure to come up with a good fantasy football team name.
It will probably be some sort of play on Harambe, if we're being honest. So we'll get that taken care of, and then I suppose we can give weekly updates as it goes, because who doesn't love hearing about somebody else's fantasy football league?
And then we can share our bad poker beats.
Let's see, podcastianos.com is the website.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Let's jump right into some Tigers talk, Eric. By about 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday night, I thought this whole show was going to be like dedicated to trying to get everyone to take one step back from the ledge and breathe. I don't know if you remember this, but we got it handed to us in Seattle.
Seattle is not kind.
Twice in ways that I would not refer to as pleasant. And then we got to Texas and were immediately scooped a large helping of the crappy Anibal Sanchez. And I was a little like, oh, geez, here we go. How much of the Seattle series did you see?
Bits and pieces. It's on so freaking late, right?
Oh, yeah.
A couple nights. Oh, what was the extra inning night? It went into like 14 innings.
I think that was Tuesday.
I think that was Tuesday, too. Oh, that was such a brutal loss because Victor had homered like in the 14th inning and then they still pissed it away. Oh, I didn't watch that because I'm a normal human being and I need to sleep. But Monday night I watched and a lot of Wednesday night. So
I
don't know. I'm not proud of that.
Do you have any like pro tips to staying up to for the West Coast games?
Coffee. Don't booze it. I mean, you got to go coffee or at least some, you know, some fruit juice or something like that.
I was expecting you to say like to be a man or something.
Well, Well, you just got to be tough. Yeah. And don't choose the couch. You got to go chair and not a recliner.
No, something that keeps you at attention.
Yeah,
that's right. Go ahead.
I honestly like to watch it and I stay up fairly late. So I like to. Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
I always do kind of like the cost-benefit analysis. Like, I could watch the game tonight, but I am going to be a wreck in the morning. So I usually I we go to bed fairly early as is. So, you know, anything later than like 11 o'clock and I'm struggling to maintain my lucidness. But then Fulmer and Boyd stepped up and saved the week with two great starts Saturday and Sunday. Bit of a topsy-turvy week all around, but here's where we stand. This is before the game started tonight. We're recording on Monday this week. We're five games back of the Indians and a game and a half back of Boston for the second wild card. I have some numbers, and by I have, I mean I saw Lee Panis on Twitter tweeted some numbers. The Tigers have 45 games remaining, 27 home, 18 road, like that. 30 mm-hmm. of them are against teams that are below 500. That's not bad. And then seven versus the team they need to catch, which is Cleveland. And they also have four against Boston coming up this week, who is another team that we'd prefer to catch. How are you feeling at this very moment?
Oh, you know, after the five consecutive losses, I was like, we're really going to have to find something, you know. But, you know, the couple wins... It's amazing how that just raises your spirits again. We're just kind of, we're hanging in there. We're hanging around. We're not moving in dominantly into that wild card spot, and we're really not falling away. We're just kind of on the cusp. So I feel hopeful.
Yeah, and I like that we have the four games coming up with Boston this week. We'll get into it when we preview it a little bit more closely. I do feel like we're kind of owed a little bit of regression bad luck. I feel like everything that could have gone right did for us when we played in Boston, and I'm a little worried about payback when it's at Comerica this time. But, you know, this is a great chance to really make a move. If we win three of four, all of a sudden, I mean, my math's not real great, but that would put us into the wild card.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Have you been following the drama about Thursday and Thursday's time for the game?
I have not, actually.
Okay, so Thursday we play the Red Sox at 1:10. And the night before, that Wednesday night, the Red Sox have a late game at home.
Ooh, that's saucy.
So that is saucy. So I guess there was a little bit of griping, especially among the Boston media, of like, why are they playing a day game after a night game? And it's the first game of a series. Well, there's a couple of reasons, and that is the Tigers play Thursday day games
like
almost exclusively. And there's a Lions preseason game at Ford Field right across the street that night. Can you imagine what kind of mess it is
when
they double up? So there was a couple of legit reasons there. And when White Sox, come on.
Well, anything we can do to keep them uncomfortable is great. Anything we can do to irritate the people from the New England / Boston area is great. And, you know, they still have a little piece of my soul from the Benoit Ortiz incident. So, you know, I really don't have any sort of sympathy for anyone in the organization ever. Part of the problem this past week has been that the injury bug bit us in a major way. In the past couple weeks, I kind of generalize here. We've lost Castellanos, Zimmerman, Maben, Iggy, and then, as we alluded to earlier, now possibly Miggy. It says he's day-to-day with a left bicep strain, which I quite frankly have no idea what that would look like. But they've all gone down. I asked Twitter to tell us what you guys want us to talk about tonight, and a lot of responses were about the replacement guys. So why don't we talk about the 23rd, 24th, and 25th guys on the roster? You cool with that?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, we talked about Cabrera and Verlander last week. So we don't need to talk about them for a month or two now. That's fine.
And I don't want to speculate too much on Miggy. I'm just going to assume he's going to play tomorrow. That feels right.
It didn't look like a violent collision or anything like that. And it didn't even look like his arm really got wrenched back. It looked like he kind of was swiping back.
Is Usain running tonight? Did he want to catch that race?
No, that was last night.
Yeah.
That was last night. I got my Usain fix in. So
I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too much, but Usain is the absolute man. I love Usain.
Oh yeah. I wanted him to beat Gatlin. Oh, is that wrong of me?
No, for sure. No, I for sure did too. I don't have this. This isn't an Olympic podcast, but I got no time for cheaters. I got no time for cheaters.
And he was kind of being a dick about it, like not fessing up. Oh, it's there. You know, just some lame BS. And Bolt's fun.
And Chris Collinsworth, in his lovely piece that he did on Gatlin, because why wouldn't Chris Collinsworth be doing feature pieces for NBC exactly. Olympics? He said something about how Justin Gatlin trained with the guy from Balco. That doesn't help your case. Come on.
Gosh. And he's kind of a dick.
He is kind of a dick.
And Bolt is a different type of person altogether. Even when they're lined up, Bolt's like a head taller than all those other dudes. He's just a particular specimen of person who can pull this off, evidently. Freaking amazing.
Do you think he could go get it in center field at Comerica?
I would hope so. I mean, as long as he doesn't have to catch very, you know, make it easy. I don't... That's like with the NFL wide receiver. Oh, just get the fastest guy and just run him out there. Well, he's got to catch the freaking ball. Yeah,
it was more sarcastic based on how
whatever Hall
people face.
You've been calling. You want this? I know you do.
I know. Tiger's Twitter wants me to ask who's a better center fielder, him or Mike Avilas?
Oh, Bolt for sure, for sure.
Let's get back to baseball, bats and balls. Dan Fernandez wants to hear about Casey McGee, so why don't we start there? He hasn't been awful. What are your takes on hits?
Oh, lately it's just been warning track shot after warning track shot for him. It's crazy. I think he's hit four or five warning track. It looks like it's going on, but it's not. I don't know. He's got major league experience. He had been super solid in Toledo. He's kind of a veteran. It's not like you're calling a kid up. He's got a great lack of hair beard combination that just like kind of the rotund dude that you know feel is very trustworthy.
Yeah.
It looks like he knows how to pilot a motorcycle pretty well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I like Hits McGee.
I imagine he would be one of the greatest softball players, like slow pitch softball players.
Oh yeah, yeah, softball guy.
Dude could definitely rake. The thing I remember going back to spring training when we signed him. I feel like we both kind of poo pooed him a little bit, but somebody, I'm sure it was Lynn, it feels like a Lynn story, said that he's just the greatest clubhouse influence ever, and that's not a bad thing to have around. He had four hits on Saturday. Like he to me seems like a consummate professional. Like.
Yep.
I don't necessarily think that he improves the team, you know, greatly. But having him on the bench over Avilas or anyone on the bench over Avilas, that's not a bad thing.
What a good resource to have when Nick gets hurt. Like absolutely. This is the reason why you have him and you do this and you have that kind of backup piece. And credit to McGee, like he received his release and decided to stick it out with Toledo and stay with the club. And he had his options, but he said, no, I'll stick it out here. And he did. And you reward him with this chance. Like you don't go out and get a guy. McGee has been doing his thing, hitting well, playing well for this chance. You give him his chance.
Yeah. We talked about when Castellanos went down about possibly going to get Danny Valencia. I'd much rather just stick it out with Casey at this point.
Yep.
I know that obviously it worked with the four hits, but I kind of dig him in the two spot. He's a good bat handler. Mm-hmm. there aren't any like other obvious, you know, choices. I actually don't mind Collins. Him up there.
Collins has been there a lot.
Yeah, I still wouldn't necessarily call him a prototypical number two hitter. No. Why don't we get to Tyler Collins? We gave him quite a bit of love last week, but he hasn't been awful in center field. Have you forgiven him for Birdgate yet?
See, I never gave him a hard time at the beginning.
No, you didn't.
Whatever. It's like one little incident. He had a bad play, and the fans were busting his balls a little bit, and like he got a little emotional. Who cares? No, you cannot do that.
Who hasn't Don't given a double bird and said F you all or all?
How
of
many
you?
Of you? All right, tell me. You know, many people who work in the workplace, in the marketplace, have customers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those customers just drive you nuts. And tell me, have you never wanted to just give the double Freedom Rockets to some customers at some point? I think we all have been there.
I think we've all been there.
You never should do that. But it happens sometimes.
It's a left-handed bat in the lineup. I mean, there are definite upsides to a, you know, this Tyler Collins in the lineup. Obviously, we're a better team with Cam Maybin in the two hole. He gives an energy that Tyler just doesn't. But you know, I gotta give Tyler credit. When we went down and saw him play, well, we went to see the whole team, not just Tyler, play down in Toledo. He did not appear to be particularly interested to be there. He wasn't running hard. There was a lot of things that made me think, well, Tyler Collins is never coming back. But since coming back, he has taken the second chance and he's run with it. I don't want to talk about it because we already alluded to it once. But wasn't it was one of my most favorite things from the season so far when Avilas was starting in center field and Tigers Twitter absolutely lost its freaking mind. That was worth the price of admission right there.
You're not going to get me to slap the patty of Tigers Twitter for that one because I cannot stand Mike Avilas. I'm not hard on players.
No.
But this guy is just driving me nuts.
Yeah. And he's not an outfielder. And he's at this point, he's hardly an infielder. But
so bad.
Let's move on to something a little bit more pleasant. Jake Skoronek asked us, what are our expectations for Dixon Machado's short but very important stint while replacing Iglesias?
Catch the ball and bat 200.
Yeah. I mean, I put down 245, but yeah, essentially that.
I mean, catch the ball, run the bases well, be super solid, and hit the ball 2 out of every 10 times. I mean, that's realistic.
I feel like I've always kind of been a pretty big Dixon fan. You know, I was pretty clever.
I didn't say anything.
just a giggle. I was pretty big on him during spring training. I've long thought that there isn't that big of a gap between him and Iglesias. You know, Iglesias is currently at 250 or so for the season. I'll be really interested to see what Machado can do. I know he's probably not going to get everyday run. I think there's a player there, and like you said, if he can hit a little bit and play a real solid shortstop, that'll be probably all it takes. But I don't hate the concept of Romine as the everyday guy either. He just brings a little bit something different to the park every day, and I appreciate that in him.
Mm-hmm. I affirm you.
Yeah. Jonathan Berry wants to know which injured player do you think that we're currently missing the most?
Oh, it's got to be Cam Maybin, for sure. Like, you look at his... the record with him and the record without him, it's pretty stark. He does a lot of things for you. He can steal a base. He really runs it down and catches it in center. He gives you that number two spot where we don't have a clear person to fill that. And I don't know. He just brings a lot of energy. What do you think? Who do we miss the most?
Zimmerman's kind of the obvious choice. Just because Anibal has been so, you know, you don't quite know. But I can't disagree on Maybin. He's been sorely missed. But I just, as good as Zimmerman started, obviously he was never going to sustain that. But if we could get 3/4 of that for 5 or 6 starts down the stretch, that would be so big.
That would be really helpful. Maybe Zimmerman is the better answer, but it just feels different without Cameron Maben around. And Zimmerman had not been his, like you said, his first couple months self.
And Maben's just a happy maker. He makes people happy.
Absolutely.
Let's move on to Matt Boyd. He hasn't given up more than 3 earned runs in a start since June. I was looking back, 6 of his 6 straight starts have been definitely not terrible. And last Saturday night, it's easy to get carried away. But to me, it looked like maybe a star was being born. Am I getting carried away here?
He was so solid, wasn't he?
He was. He had an answer every time.
Mm-hmm. And I think they asked, who did they ask? Maybe it was Boyd himself, like, or Norris. Do you feel like you and Fulmer and Norris, or those three, do you feel like you're the future core of the Tigers rotation? And they kind of admitted, yeah, you know, we've been thinking about that a little bit, and we think we can help this team for years to come, which I thought was pretty bold to say.
It couldn't have been Boyd, because I don't know if, did you catch his interaction with Keating after the game?
Yeah, I did. I loved it too.
Yeah,
because Keating asked him, like, is this your most important performance, or is this the best you ever pitched? And Boyd tried to do the whole cliche, you know, it's just a good team win. And Keating was all over it, which I really respect. He's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Which is great. Is that the one you're talking about?
That would be the one I was talking about. I was like, I know that it wins you points in the clubhouse when you do stuff like that, but like, it is a little okay for him to be like, yeah, that was big for me personally, in addition to how, you know, massive it was. But, you know, obviously I'm never gonna hate on a guy for being too team-oriented.
Right, but what would be wrong if the guy just said, hey, you know, that felt really solid for me. This is probably as far as I've, you know, this is as well as I've done in the big leagues. That gives me a lot of confidence for next time. I really feel like I'm getting my feet underneath me. That just really felt good. I mean, there'd be nothing wrong with saying that, would there?
No, definitely not. That was kind of what I was alluding to.
Yeah, of course.
But I like him a lot. I've trashed him a little bit over the last couple of weeks just because I'm not always sure about this stuff, but I do really like him. Keating asked Ausmus in the post-game press conference whether he thought it was a stepping stone win for Boyd. I thought that was a really interesting question. Mm. I obviously would like for the answer to that be yes. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is as dominant as we've seen Boyd, period. So if nothing else, if he's scuffling on a start or whatever, he knows he has it in him.
Yeah, and this was a good offense. I mean, Texas is leading the American League West. I mean, they're a very good team.
Absolutely. No, it was just a really good day for Boyd.
Yeah, let's hope for a few more of those. You know, when Zimmerman comes back, we're going to have to lose, you know, Annie Ball and probably Big Pelf. But if Boyd is pitching like this, I will suck up my pride and admit that Pelf maybe should go to the bullpen.
Oh, that's such a huge sacrifice. Thank you, Hall. Thanks for taking one for the team.
If you really think about it, Pelf actually has decent stuff to move out to the pen. If, you know, you don't need more than 2 pitches out there, which is good because he doesn't have more than that. Maybe his stuff plays up a little bit, you know? It could happen.
He's not a soft tosser.
No, he isn't.
He can throw.
And he obviously can get a ground ball, which that is a useful skill out of the bullpen.
So between ground balls and throwing hard, I mean, he does kind of suck, though. It's hard to say.
Let's talk real quick about the end of an era. He's no longer a Tiger, but Prince Fielder essentially retired from baseball this past week. Any parting words for the big fella?
This is the hottest of hot takes, but I really still like Prince Fielder. I never disliked him, even after the whole World Series. You know, I'm over it already. I'm going to go spend time with my kids. This isn't a big deal. Like, I wonder if he, because he grew up in a big league family like that, it just gives you a different sense of what playing professional baseball is. I mean, his dad had it as a job, as estranged as he might be to his dad, but he grew up with very famous, very professional people. He never acted like professional baseball was this big ordeal because it wasn't for him. It's just kind of expected of him, and this is normal course of business. So I guess you give him a little bit of mulligan for not, like, you know, bowing down at the shrine of the holiness of baseball, because that's kind of his life. And second of all, like, he played with a lot of fun and humor and style, and he just crushed the ball. And he was just this huge, lovable, big dude for the most part. Now, did he have some missteps? Absolutely. Can you be mad and get on him about a couple things? Sure. But overall, I found him to be quite likable. And I'm sad his career came to an end. I'm happy for us that it wasn't in our uniform.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I'm sad to see Prince go.
Yeah, just to bring it kind of full circle, even if we had gotten nothing out of Kinsler for the last 3 years, just ditching that contract would have been so incredibly monumental. I mean, even if we hadn't gotten anything back, just to lose him might have been Dombrowski's second best trade of his tenure.
Yep. And to answer the question that's floating around, I don't think we'll get any relief. The Tigers, meaning relief from his contract. So I won't name names, but several supposed Tigers experts are going around saying, oh, this is great. The Tigers are going to get relief. That's not necessarily true. There could be a scenario where if some of it's insured or whatever, but most likely the Tigers are still paying that $6 million a year.
And I talked earlier about how I thought Casey McGee might be the greatest slow pitch softball player of all time. Prince is far and away a better option. Just to tie a bow on this segment.
I agree. Try to get him in a t-shirt. That's going to be the trick.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Are you ready to do your power rankings?
Yeah, I'm ready for power rankings.
Let's do it.
You know, we have some choices, as always. It's the summer. Maybe you want to go to the beach. And if you go to the beach, you need a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And nothing handles children and stuff as well as a minivan. So that's kind of applicable.
Okay.
Our second option is... since you and I, we went to a minor league baseball game, and we actually did have a little discussion about minor league baseball team naming. We talked about the Lansing Lugnuts, mm-hmm. and how their logo is actually like a bolt, which drives me nuts. The lug nut itself should be a nut. There should be a hole in the middle, not a bolt.
I always get assumed together, that Lansing. Conversation was going to get on the air.
Because it was so profound, right? So today I have to offer you the minor league baseball team names.
That's a hot category. How can I pass on that?
That's in fuego, pretty much. Okay. So we have the top seven and the bottom three minor league baseball teams. Starting at number seven is the Modesto Nuts. The Modesto Nuts. I think Modesto is like a city in California. I think they grow nuts around there. You know, it's a little hard with the water crisis. You got to water your almonds. Almonds require huge amounts of water. Did
really?
You know that?
I did not.
Yeah. Lots of water for the almonds. Anyway, I digress. The Modesto Nuts. You have the classic Let's Go Nuts cheer.
That is good.
Which they had even before Lansing. So Let's Go Nuts. And they have like this perfect logo with three different types of nuts. It's pretty good.
What
it's
types
food based.
Are on the logo? I'm curious.
I think it's an almond, a walnut, and something else. It's not a cashew because a cashew is a seed, not a nut.
Really? Gosh, yeah. Just dropping knowledge bombs tonight.
Yeah. Hey, when it comes to nuts, I know what I'm doing.
You're our guy.
Yeah, I guess. Even though I couldn't come up with a third nut. I only got two nuts for you. Number six, the El Paso Chihuahuas. The El Paso Chihuahuas. This is a fairly new team. You can't say there's a team name that fits the city better than Chihuahua and El Paso. El Paso is in or near the Chihuahua Desert. Hmm. And the little dogs are like Scrappy. They're like little Dustin Pedroias. It's adorable.
Little Purtles.
Number five, the Akron Rubber Ducks.
There we go.
It's a fun name. It's a toy. But it also has like roots in the city because Akron was really the hub of the rubber industry. Like a lot of the tire manufacturers came out of Akron. And the Rubber Duck logo actually has like a tire print on the duck's head. It's kind of cool. And plus, it's a freaking rubber duck. Castellanos would be impressed.
Yes, he would.
All right. Number four is the Biloxi Shuckers.
Oh, okay.
The Shuckers is a fun word to say. And you can't tell me Shuckers isn't something you don't want to say. Biloxi is near the Gulf, I think. And they find shellfish, like oysters and stuff. And what do you do when you catch them?
I think you shuck them.
You shuck them things. So Shuckers is a really solid name. That's number four. Coming in at number three is the Albuquerque Isotopes. Isotopes. So you have obviously all the Simpsons tie-ins with the isotopes, and it's from Albuquerque where they had the the nuclear detonations nearby in the desert and stuff. There's like a nuclear theme with that. It makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and science and stuff.
Absolutely, the Manhattan Project. All that stuff happened in the desert there someplace, I assume. That was number three. Number two is the Montgomery Biscuits. Biscuits is a great name. And their mascot is just like a biscuit kind of wedged open. And the tongue is like a pat of butter.
Of course.
It's so good. And what think of the least tough thing you can think of. It's probably a biscuit.
It's probably a biscuit. Yep.
Definitely. Yeah. There's nothing intimidating about a biscuit. And this always reminds me of this kid I knew in high school. He was kind of this large dude, and his nickname was Biscuits. Hmm. And I didn't really know his name. And he drove a Golden Mercury Cougar, and we called him Biscuits. So that makes me smile. It's nothing to do with anything. Okay, number one, do you want to guess?
I want to have a guess at this. Is it the Yard Goats?
That is a good guess. I considered that, but no, it is not.
They didn't make the top seven?
They didn't make the top seven. I mean,
I want to be a yard goat in the worst way.
What even is a yard goat?
It's a goat that lives in one's yard, I would assume. What else could it be?
Maybe it's a home run hitting goat.
Oh,
like the goat goes yard. Well, like done. The yard goats.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a goat that's 3 feet long. Yeah.
And you get 10 of if you have 10 of them, you get a first down.
Yeah. It's a little short than the European meter goat, but it's still pretty good. It's not fit for the Olympics.
No.
Okay. Number one is the Savannah Bananas.
Oh, of course.
The Savannah Bananas is kind of a new team, but the alliteration is rhyming.
Yeah.
It's rhyming. The flow of it just flows so good. They're the Savannah Bananas. And a banana is just kind of a funny thing to have as your mascot.
Yeah, definitely.
I just think it's great. I almost bought a Savannah Bananas t-shirt. If somebody's listening to this and lives in Savannah, buy me a banana shirt, send it my way. That's what I want. All right, that's the top seven. You ready for the bottom three?
Always.
Okay. Number three is representative of a whole class of minor league team names, and that is the Mobile Bay Bears.
Oh.
The Mobile Bay Bears. Mobile is a city in Alabama, southern Alabama. How many bears do you think live down there?
I'm not the naturalist, but I would say few.
I would guess you. So you're just putting like a natural feature of your area in front of a random animal, the bay bears. Okay, so you also have the Lynchburg hill cats. That's dumb.
Cats that live in the hills.
The Charleston river dogs. These names are uncreative and dumb. Stop doing it. But the bay bears is especially bad. Boo.
Now that was alliteration. Bay bears, bad, boo.
Yeah, it was. It's all mapped out. This is all thoroughly planned.
Of course.
Speaking of alliteration, the Indianapolis Indians is number two. All right. First of all, you're rocking the Indians name, which is kind of dumb. And number two, you don't even go with the Indians organization. They're a Pirates affiliate.
Yeah, that's bad.
And it's just lazy to go Indianapolis Indians.
Yeah.
Like, you think it's just lazy. You couldn't think of anything better than that.
They could be the Colts.
I mean, that doesn't work at all.
That one's probably been used. All right.
It's awful. All right. Number one is also representative of a lot of teams that have the same naming convention, but I'm going to go with this one for the number one worst. Do you want to guess?
I've got nothing. No.
Okay. The Iowa Cubs.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Okay. So Iowa Cubs. Cubs is the name of the big league team. And there's a ton of teams that just name themselves after the big league club.
That's just giving up.
That's just laziness. If you're kind of cleverly related, like the Bay Sox or something like that.
Redbirds?
Redbirds. That makes some sense. I can get behind that. But the Iowa Cubs... And they had a chance to rename this thing because they were a White Sox affiliate and then they went back. And second of all, it doesn't even say a city. They're in Des Moines, but they use Iowa. Like, you could be a little bit more specific. I kind of wish the West Michigan White Sox or the White Caps were the Grand Rapids White Caps. There's nothing wrong with that. That's where they are. Okay, so Iowa Cubs. And they had a chance. So they're at the corner of the intersection their stadium is. At the corner of the Iowa River and the Raccoon River. Like, come on.
River raccoons.
It's no. It's staring them right in the face. They should be the raccoons.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
They're not the Cubs, but they're kind of another, you know, creature. It should be the Des Moines Raccoons. That'd be perfect. Why are you screwing this up and just taking the same name as your major league club? Stop being lazy. Use raccoons is right there. It's power rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Let's move on to things that I saw on the side of the road while I was running. This is a bit of a hot one for you this week. I have one. It's kind of a developing story. I'm gonna keep tabs on it, and I'll let you know in a couple weeks what happens. But this is one that I actually saw today. So we had some poop talk last week. We're going to get a little more poop talk today. Is that all right?
Do I have a choice?
You do not, because that's the only thing that I saw on the side of the road this week.
Let's go.
Okay, so it was actually still in my own neighborhood. There was I actually have pencils. I'm lining them up on my desk. You can't see it. There was three strands of poo from a dog that were perfectly lined up, like, next to each other. I don't have a dog, but I would imagine when they defecate, it's not like that. It makes me wonder, like, was there like,
so it was
a Stonehenging arrangement of the poo? Like, is that what happened?
So this is like the Adidas logo, kind of, you know, like three in a row.
Yeah, I mean, if you changed the angle parallel with which you were looking at it, yes, it would look like the Adidas logo.
Huh. So are you suspecting agency here? Are you sensing like this was created by, you know, somebody?
Yeah, either an alien or like a poo artist.
Like the Andy Goldsworthy of poo. That's a really obscure reference. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I have no idea what that means.
He's a guy who does nature art, you know, by like, you know, arranging leaves and stuff.
Of course.
So maybe he was around and like he was going to make art.
Yeah. Have you ever, I know you don't have a dog, but have you ever made poo art?
You have to give me a little bit to think about it.
On next week's show, Eric's experience with poo art.
No, I don't think I have arranged feces as art.
Okay. So anyway, like I said, there's a developing story on the side of the road. I want to keep tabs on it. I'm really excited to give you that story. Maybe next week. We'll see how things go. All right. Let's move.
Whoa. Is it related to this three?
It is not
the triumphant of feces here.
It's an animal
independent of the feces.
It's not feces dependent. No.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I've been taking pictures of this thing in stages. It's something that's decomposing on the side of the road. Okay.
Only here, friends. Only on the podcast. Yeah.
Let's move on to next week. Tonight through Wednesday, we are at home to Kansas City. Tonight, Daniel Norris, who is 1-0, takes on Ian Kennedy. Eric, do we have a score update?
No. Okay. I'm not looking at it.
I'm not looking at it either.
Here, I can make that happen really quick here, Lee. I'm pushing the internet button.
We're up 6-1. I'm calling it.
Come on. Where's my freaking phone? This is taking forever. This is what I get for buying the world's cheapest internet service. Tigers. Okay, here we go.
We're down 2-1.
Gosh, your prediction was wrong.
Bottom 8, but there's still time. Tomorrow, scored. Verlander against Danny Duffy, which will be so fire emoji. I cannot wait for that pitching matchup. I know he is a Royal, but I have so much man love for Danny Duffy. Almost on the level of man love I have for Francisco Lindor. And then Aníbal Sánchez on Wednesday against Yordano Ventura. So once again, hopefully we can come out of that with all of our already not injured players still not injured. And then,
maybe we're on the alternating Sánchez plan.
Maybe.
You know, maybe he'll show up and be good.
I could live with that. I mean, you could do worse.
Every other. Heck yeah, I'd take that.
Thursday through Sunday, we host Boston. Day game, as previously mentioned on Thursday, Boyd, who's 4-2, takes on Clay Buchholz, who's 4-9. Apparently, Clay is back in the rotation.
I guess. I
was very surprised to see him out of the bullpen, and apparently now I'm just as surprised to see him back in the rotation.
One of my favorite tweets ever. And it didn't, nobody really liked it, but I did. And it was basically, I want to kidnap Clay Buchholz and shampoo him. That was the tweet. And this was my favorite because this looked like this greasy haired mop. And he's like, oh, shampoo yourself.
Which I don't get it because he looks like the type of bro that wear like a lot of North Face and like Lacoste. I don't get how he doesn't bathe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it was probably just the lighting.
Maybe.
Or the natural oils from his hair.
He shows up to game in Sperry's for sure. Friday, Michael Fulmer, the kid, takes on Ricky P., our former kid, who is 16-3 this year.
Porcello is
16-3.
Well, what are you going to do?
It's good. Saturday, Norris again against Drew Pomeranz, who he faced for the second time, and then Verlander against Eduardo Rodriguez, though once you get a week out, the pitching matchups are always a little sketchy.
Yep.
2-3, we took 2 of 3 last time out against Kansas City, and we swept Boston, all three in Boston last time out. Like I said, I am worried about a little bit of bad luck coming back after all the good luck we had. Does that make you nervous? Or is that just my paranoia?
Yeah, math doesn't, like, life doesn't work that way. You think it does, but it doesn't.
It could, though.
Past performance is not indicative of future results. Don't you watch any investment vehicle commercials?
Yes, I definitely do. let's see. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And once again, if you'd like to follow me on Instagram, I am trying to up my game. I am at Jordinho3, which is obviously
I looked for you the other day, and I could not find it.
Are you on the Instagrams?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Spell it for me. At
Jordinho. Yeah, Jordinho, as in Ronaldinho, or all the various.
Why
other...
I? Why wouldn't it be A?
Because that's
like
how...
Jordan.
You do make some valid points, but it's an I. It's an I.
Inho.
Yeah.
Jordan Ho.
Jordinho.
Yeah. Okay.
Four.
Oh, you four. Of course.
Yeah.
because you were the fourth person to get that highly coveted name.
No, I wanted to go for fifth. 10 because that's the number you want, you know, for soccer.
Yeah, of course.
But that one was taken. And then I went to 1, also taken. And then I like Phil Jones from United, who wears 4. So that's why I settled on 4.
Such a nerd.
Let's see. If you want to join the league of myself, Eric, and the other listeners, we have one spot left. Just email us at podcastianos@gmail.com. Let's see. You can email. We are at podcastianos.com. Oh, and we would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or whatever other podcast catching software you use. Eric, do you have any other words to say to the people before we get out for the evening?
Not any intelligent ones.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.